You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy, crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not to cover a news week. Oh,
well, happy birthday. 242 years. That's right. It's awesome. So to all you leathernecks out there, happy birthday. To all the corpsmen that hung out with us, happy birthday to you too. You know, one of the great awakenings you have when you join the Marine Corps is what a big deal the birthday is, right? And I remember I was in OCS the first time, but I thought it was cool as hell that people walked around all day and said happy birthday. And they were genuinely, most of the time, in a good mood. Now, we didn't get to celebrate the birthday when I was in OCS. I mean, we did the ceremony and all that, like everybody else. And then we went back to life as a candidate. And I'll tell you one of my great experiences, the best memory I have of that birthday. So I don't know. I think the birthday was on Friday. So we're going to go for a moto run Saturday morning. Well, I mean, our officers, they go out, and this is 1983, man. Most of these guys are Vietnam veterans. They got issues, right? They go out, and this is back in the day when, you know, you got hammered in the Marine Corps. So they went out, and as you would expect, I'm not sure what ball they all went to in Quantico, but they went to it, and they were hurt in the following day. I mean, officers, staff, NCOs. And so we're going, in OCS you run. You know, you don't do the recon. You don't do the recon shuffle. You get after it. So my company commander, with prior enlisted guy, captain by the name of Tom Rankin, he's a recon guy, tough guy. He was not looking too good when we got ready to run. And so we run, and we're coming back to Brown Field at OCS, and we're running along the. This is old course stuff, all right? We're running along the back side of all the barracks buildings. Headed kind of down towards the confidence course, and then you looped around past the chow hall, and then you headed back to the grinder where, you know, we'd stop and do whatever we're going to do. So anyway, on that back side, all of a sudden he peels out of the run, and he bends over, and he pukes everywhere. All this brown puke going everywhere. And we're running by going, oh, shit, look at that, Captain Rankin, man down, corpsman up. And we just, you know, I mean, we keep going, like, damn, look at that. And what? And so this is again, when I knew that I was on a different planet in the Marine Corps. 30 seconds, maybe not even 30 seconds. Here comes Rankin running back to join us. And I just remember thinking, what in God's name? He's got puke on his arm. He's wiping it off his mouth. And he says, where the fuck do you think you're going without me? I remember thinking, woo! Now, you know, normally, like, when you're a normal human being, right, when you're running and you normally lay down and somebody, your mom brings you some ginger ale and you go and you lay down, you don't get back in the run, for God's sakes. And I'll never, I mean, again, all these years later, right, what is it, 34 years later, I still remember it vividly, thinking, these people are crazy, man. These people are straight up crazy in the head. That's not the way normal people behave. And it's one of the best parts of the organization because it's not normal. So my most vivid experience from my first Marine Corps birthday, but today is the 242nd birthday of the Marine Corps. It is also my son Patrick's 28th birthday. That's right. He was born 28 years ago today, in Bethesda Naval Hospital. That's right. So congratulations. Happy birthday to my son, Patrick, who's in Okinawa right now. Hopefully he'll be home here pretty quick. And looking forward to seeing him and all of that. But big day, yeah, big day for our family. So happy birthday to all the Marines out there. The Commandant gave a motivational speech, and maybe I'll play a little of it right now. I'll just play a little clip of it that I like. Like, I'm not sure if Neller did this by himself, because he's not, like, that savvy about stuff like that. Yeah, I know Neller, okay. Let me see if I can find what I recorded. Nah, that'll be par for the course. No, you can't. Okay, this is about a minute, how many, 2 minutes long? This is a minute and 12 seconds. This is Neller. This is a little excerpt. At the end, he says, "We gotta win." And I like the way he says it. So you'll hear the full, his full remarks here, during the program. What are we going to do today? We're going to talk to my friends and wish them happy birthday and see what they're going to do, see how they remember the birthday. And so we'll do that today. We'll also get a few pointers on the traditional dish of the Marine Corps birthday is prime rib. So we'll talk prime rib for about 30 minutes with the All-Marine Radio head chef. Gunner's going to be here. He's already talking trash on my phone already. And so anyway, but here's an excerpt from the Commandant's message on this 242nd birthday.
This is a story about individuals' heroic actions, but
okay, he's talking about Guadalcanal. Okay,
it's about leadership, it's about perseverance, it's about resilience. They could have quit. They could have given up. I mean, there weren't too many good days here. So I think it's important for all of us to remember where we came from and who we are and why we're here on our birthday, which is what we're supposed to do. Remember the past. Honor those that are no longer with us. Think about what's going on today and get ready for tomorrow. We've got a great Marine Corps. We've got great Marines. Our families support us. The nation supports us. We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I like that. We got to win. Commodore of the Marine Corps, you'll hear that in his full address. He went to Guadalcanal to mark the 75th anniversary and evidently recorded the birthday message, or at least part of it there. So, Neller, boom, we got to win. I like that. Somebody ought to turn that into a button. Let's go, boys. We got to win. I don't know why that motivates me, but it does. National anthem today, courtesy of the United States Marine Corps Band, with apologies to Whitney Houston, but today's not your day, girlfriend. Oh, yet she tries. for whatever reason, this song always sounds better today. And this is exactly the perfect way that it gets sung.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Here's an email. Mac, you sound fired up this morning. You know, I've always loved the Marine Corps birthday. I do. I love it. You know, I love the craziness of the Marine Corps. I love the intensity. I love the passion. That's what attracted me to the Marine Corps. Right? If you're like with Marines and you say, knock that wall down, they're like, all right. they don't care. And I love that about the Marine Corps. It's got so many crazy people. Guys like Gunner. Yeah. Like, Gunner passed himself off as really smart. Yeah. You should see him do crazy stuff. Yeah. And we have a corporation that's like that. It's these crazy, motivated people. It's awesome. I'm telling you. And if you're ever privileged enough to see it in combat, it'll blow your mind. You know? Fearless, tenacious, unyielding. Stay there as long as they have to. Take their lumps, and then get right back after it the same time. Let's go. Yeah, it's the coolest. It's the coolest organization on the planet. Yeah, honestly, it is. We goof it and all the rest of that stuff. The most inspirational dudes you'll ever be around. Men and women. No quit. It's awesome. And it's really awesome in combat. It's really awesome. And it's most awesome when it gets most difficult. You know, and it's forever. I'll do the weather here, and then Bob Nielsen's going to join us. It's most awesome when it gets most difficult. I mean, think about it. You've heard Jarvis Lynch on this program talking about an event at an LZ in Vietnam called LZ Margo, right? The NVA had registered artillery onto it. They boom in a battalion, and then the NVA just unleashes on it. They run, he said, 150-something medevacs out of that LZ after the battalion got into it. I mean, they got their asses thumped that day. Well, who flies in? The regimental commander, none other than Colonel of the 9th Marine Regiment, Colonel Bob Barrow, right? And what does he tell Major Lynch? Hey, what can I do to help? Because they're going to pay for this. We're going to go get them, and they're going to pay. Next morning, Ray Davis, General, Major General, 3rd Marine Division flies in. What do you need, Major? Because they're going to pay for this. We're going to go get them, and we're going to whoop their ass. How motivating is that when you just take it? And these guys who fought in World War II, Korea, right, and you're being tested for the first time in Vietnam, and these guys come flying in and look at you and say, let's go, devil dog. these guys are going to pay. It's time to go. I mean, I'm getting motivated. I'm getting motivated right now just talking about it. 46 degrees and clouds in Quantico, Virginia, where my oldest son, Captain John McNamara, is. So happy birthday and a shout-out to that leatherneck. 55 degrees and cloudy at Camp Lejeune. 51 degrees and cloudy in Granbury, Texas, where the Gunner celebrates a birthday. Up in Montana. Montana man's in Idaho, so he might have to be Idaho man today. Yeah, and he's whining about chewing horses. That's what he does. He's a furrier. I guess that's what that is. It doesn't have anything to do with furs. It has something to do with horseshoes. Yeah, but it's 35 degrees and cloudy in Montana. 29 Palms, sunny in 54. Pendleton, clouds in 49, kind of cold. Okinawa, dark, cloudy. Yeah, where son number two, Patrick, whose birthday it is today, he's on duty. Exactly. Happy birthday, bro. Anyway, he didn't give a crap. He's on his way home soon. The cloudy dark in 65 in Raqqa, cloudy dark in 64 in Marja in Afghanistan, at the home of All Marine Radio on this November 10th, the birthday of the Marine Corps. Mostly cloudy, 62, looking for a high of 68. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. Bob Nielsen's going to join us next, and we're not going to be gone for, you know what, we're not even going to take a break. We'll just call Nielsen right now. So we're going to find out what he's doing on the on this day. That's the wrong phone number. That's the right one. So Bob Nielsen's going to join us. Kurt Noll's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. The Horseshoe Dude. Yeah, Horseshoe Man, he's going to join us here in about 30 minutes.
Good morning, Michael.
Nielsen, happy birthday. How are you? You're on the radio, so be careful what
happy
you say.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I've been listening to you. You almost make me want to sign up again.
I'm motivated, man. How about that?
Scary.
No, but, I mean, it's true, though, right? I mean, Captain Rankin puking, isn't he supposed to lay down? Somebody get him some ginger ale and some crackers and something to put on his forehead?
That is so great. That reminds me of the gunny we had when I was going through PLC, Gunny Renison. He would do the obstacle course for every platoon in the company and then drink a case of beer.
Yeah, and he'd run it with a cigarette, like smoking a cigarette before he went, right? Then he puts it out in his hand, and he saves the cigarette, and he sticks it in his sock, and then he runs the O course, and then when he's done, he lights up the cig, and he's standing there smoking it with you. Those kind of people. And, Bob, what's it like to watch those guys in combat?
Well, they're unbelievable. I mean, they boggle the mind. I mean, they literally take your breath away because they do it. And they're comfortable doing it. That's the incredible part. I mean, they know they're good at it, and they just blow your mind. I mean, who would fly a helicopter, an H-34, into a goddamn landing zone under fire to pick out wounded and dead? I mean, you got to be out of your mind.
No, you do. But what do you know? What do you know is there's Marines down there, and they need your help, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they'll be there, and it becomes the most beautiful sound in the world when you hear that helicopter coming in.
You know, I think,
by the way, Barney Barnum was off the charts yesterday.
If you haven't heard that, listen to both interviews. There's two of them. One we did during the summer, and then the second one. And again, I love talking. I could talk to him. I told him that later after we got done. I could do this all day. Just talk about leadership and his stories about leadership and the experience he has. Unbelievable, great, and a great
that's
guy.
That's mandatory listening. And I wish I could be 1/100th of the Marine he was. It blows your mind.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, the story he tells about General Barrow cleaning out the Marine Corps.
Oh, unbelievable.
And he says, look, I know I was a staff second at Camp Lejeune. And he said 30 to 40 a day came across his desk.
Yeah.
Putting guys out of the Marine Corps.
Get them out.
For either race issues or drug issues or normally a combination of both. Get them out.
And, you know, the same time they were rioting at Lejeune, there were also riots in the Brigade of the Pendleton.
Oh,
it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, no, I remember hearing the stories about the riots at Pendleton. I remember hearing, you know, they had a Ku Klux Klan meeting on base at Pendleton, and somebody threw a grenade at it. I mean, you hear this stuff, like the Marine Corps, but it was, you know, it was a little microcosm of the culture, and so yeah, there you have it. But no, Barney Barnum, Colonel, recipient of the Medal of Honor, awesome, and just an awesome guy.
So easy to talk to.
Yeah. Awesome guy.
And I brought him over to introduce him to wounded Marines that I know, and Walter Reed and stuff. And he's just unbelievable. And he gets along with everybody. He gets along with anybody and everybody. He's fabulous.
Give me your favorite birthday memory. You have one?
Well, probably the most impressive was the first one when I was at basic school, because I wasn't totally unprepared for something quite like that. It was pretty amazing. But the craziest one, without a doubt, was when we were in July in 66. And we had a cake-cutting ceremony and all the usual stuff. And then it kind of disintegrated after that. And we had invited some local Vietnamese guests into the party after the brass had all gone home. And we had told everybody in command that they were the mayor and his staff. And they really weren't the mayor and his staff. They were kind of the mayor and a bunch of the local young ladies to entertain the troops. And, of course, it got out of hand, as you might imagine, and it became another legendary Marine Corps birthday ball. And we drove them all back to the village in a dump truck at 11 o'clock at night.
They have it. Everything very tidy, right?
Everything in perspective.
How has obviously, Bob? I mean, your experience has changed. Your experience in Vietnam, and then coming home. Your time at both Bethesda and Walter Reed. Seeing.
Oh, you know what's interesting, Michael? One of my more interesting experiences with Marine Corps birthday balls were ones I wasn't really invited to, but they were ones held in Bethesda. At Silver Spring for Walter Reed and Bethesda Naval Hospital when we were packed jammed with wounded from Iraq and Afghanistan. And it was unbelievable because you get double, triple amputees getting in their dress blue uniforms, and they'd invite all the staff of the Navy Hospital that were helping the wounded. And you'd see these kids in the pictures the next day or next couple of days on Facebook and sharing pictures. And it was such a thrill for them to be at a Marine Corps birthday ball and celebrating. And, you know, the staff are all decked out. The therapists are all decked out. You know, the Marines are on wheelchairs. They're on these electric ironing boards that the badly wounded ride around on. And they have the ball.
Right.
And, you know, your description of what the Marine Corps birthday ball is like, it really is true. It takes... You can't understand it if you haven't been in the service and been to it. It's unbelievable.
It's an unbelievable social event. You know,
yeah, and
out of those, I have a picture that somebody sent me years ago. It's a Marine in a wheelchair, and when you first see the picture, you think he's a single amputee, and you think that his other foot is simply out of the picture. But then if you look at the picture a little bit closer, you quickly see he's a double amputee. One is above the ankle, and then the other one is above the knee. And he's in his wheelchair. He's saluting. Right, and he's sitting erect, and you look at the picture, and the thing that always blows me away is the position of his left hand as he's seated in the wheelchair. And where you know, Bob, where should his left thumb be if he's standing as he's saluting?
About down by the side pocket.
Right, on the seam of his trousers, right? The seam of his trousers as you stand
right
there. As he sits there, his thumb sits directly on the seam of his trousers. And I look at that picture, and I use it when I sometimes when I go speak, And I tell people in my organization, that guy calls me sir, if you can believe that. If you can believe that. And I walk him through his uniform. See his uniform? See how perfect it is? You know who did that? He did that. Nobody else did that. And if you look at his salute, his arm is a perfect 90 degree angle out from his body, exactly how we teach it. And then, you know, and I say
buckle under the blues is
exactly,
polished.
Exactly.
It's brass metal, metals are polished. I mean,
and he's sitting there in he's wearing ribbon, so he's got his Purple Heart, his combat action ribbon. And I said, that guy calls me sir. Okay, can you imagine how humbling of an experience that is? That guy says that to me. I said, but let me ask you a question. If you got both your legs blown off, would you do this, or would you be so pissed off at the world that you would just tell it to screw off? I said, that's the kind of guys and girls that we get in this organization, and that's why it's so intoxicating to be around. So,
and Max, they would go do it again. That's the amazing thing.
Oh,
vet after vet after vet that I meet at Walter Reed, the first thing out of their mouth is they'd go do it again.
Yeah. No, it is.
You wouldn't even blink.
It is the most intoxicating place. So how do you celebrate it today?
Oh, I don't go to those shindigs anymore. I lay low. We'll have a little community thing in a couple of days for Veterans Day, and, you know, quietly I'll celebrate the Marine Corps thing. It'll be a happy hour. I used to go to the Marine Corps Historical Society that built the museum at Quantico would have a luncheon for Marine Corps birthday, which was much more refined and much more quiet and much less drinking. And I went to those for a few years. In fact, I went to one where General Zinni gave a talk and blew the room away. But now I lay low. They're too much of an effort to get involved in the evening events. And I'd rather see the young Marines do it and enjoy it and then tell me stories about it.
Yeah. Mike Musselman and I were talking yesterday about the challenge of as much personality as Mike has in an infantry battalion of about 1,100 Marines. And on a special night, guess who they all come looking for? The gunner. Oh.
Without a doubt, him.
Right? And
not a doubt in my mind.
Right? And he, Mr. Personality gets trapped by the bar. Oh, my God. His wife's doing the fireman carry out again. Again, really? You told me you weren't going to do this. I'm so sorry.
One of the most amazing things, I've worked in 35 countries around the world building buildings, and one of the things our guys loved in these overseas assignments in the Middle East and Southeast Asia and everything, was the whole key in those assignments was to get invited to the Marine Corps birthday celebration at the embassy. Because even if there were only 8 Marines there at the embassy, they would put on a party that was the single most desirous event you wanted to be attended to in the course of a year, whatever country it was in.
Right.
And the stories were legendary about those parties. And God only knows how 8 enlisted Marines could raise the funds for a shindig and invite 250 people to it, but they did it every year in every embassy around the world.
No.
Great stories.
You talk about a group that could throw a decent party. Okay? And it is.
Oh.
The things that attract you to the Marine Corps, at least me, the passion, intensity, And the bit of craziness that's in it, we don't care. Did the gunny just say to knock down the wall? Then we're knocking down the wall, right?
Tell me people wouldn't follow Barney Barnum to the end of the world.
No, Barnum says it. If Barnum muses, hey, that would really look good in my office. Guess what's getting stolen? Whatever he was musing about. And then he walks in the office the next day and he's just,
general's vehicle.
Yeah, what is that doing here? Somebody said that you said that it would look good here in the company CP. I said that, but for the love of God, right? So anyway, all right. Thank you very much for the visit.
One quick thing. I'm sitting here. I posted a picture on Facebook this morning of the Vietnam Memorial. as the sun's going down. And I mentioned two great Marines that I served with that passed away this past year. Dallas Berry, my platoon commander, and Bill O'Carter was my company commander. Great Vietnam Marine vets. And if you're on Facebook, take a look at it.
All right,
have a great birthday.
Happy birthday, Double Dog. How do they find you on Facebook?
Bob Nilsson. N-I-L-S-S-O-N and 100 Entrepreneurs. Either one.
All right. And they'll find the picture in both places?
Have a great one. Semper Fi.
All right. Happy birthday there, Devil Dog. All right. There you have
it. You, my Take care.
Bob Bye-bye. Nilsson here on the Marine Corps birthday. Coming up next is not even going to take a break. We might not even take a break the whole show. Is my boy Knowles. You know him as Rudy, F-18 man. So we're going to spend a few minutes with him, find out what an aviator would be doing on the birthday today.
Send it.
What's up, Devil?
What's up, Devil Dog? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man. So give me your first motivated taste of the Marine Corps birthday, because it is a bit different, right? You join the Marine Corps, and all of a sudden on the birthday, everybody's fired up. Everybody's saying happy birthday. And give me your first introduction to the birthday.
Well, I was at OCS, and so when I was there, you're flying around just trying not to get your head chewed off and making sure you're doing things as quick as you can, and all of a sudden it's kind of like we're stopping in our tracks, and even the drill instructors aren't just all up in our business, and I'm like, what is this? Is kind of different, you know, as far as a different day. And we get to the chow hall, and it was kind of like going to the mother-in-law's house for the first time. Like, you weren't really sure what to touch or what, you know, am I allowed to actually eat this cake? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like, you just don't, you're on such pins and needles. But even then at OCS, I mean, they stopped and they recognized it, you know, very well, and with even a small ceremony that we did there, just so that us as candidates, you know, appreciated what we were trying to become a part of. So it was a cool thing even there. I vividly remember it, being at OCS and celebrating that first birthday ball. So yeah, it was cool. It's like that cold, crisp morning in Quantico, you know, you're walking in there and it's like all of a sudden instead of just getting a normal slop and chop of, you know, maybe some pancakes and eggs, all of a sudden it's like you got to, you know, the Marine Corps always rolls out, you know, it's like they got all the fixings are all out and those steaks or whatever, they try to do their best with the lobster.
Right.
Like trying to cook lobster for 2,000 people, it's never easy, but, you know, they do their best, so it's cool.
You've experienced birthdays. Well, I don't know that you have. The birthday, so who has better birthdays, the air wing or the ground side, the infantry Marines?
I think probably one of the best ones that I went to was when I was at 1st Marine Regiment. We went to the division ball down on the Midway. That was a cool atmosphere. That was cool. So it's hard to say, you know. I think it's not really of
it's not hard.
What who you're as far as like what unit you're attached to, it's who you're with, right? So I think those would become most memorable. I can remember the one that when we got back from Afghanistan, I mean that was just weeks after we had gotten back, just a couple weeks, and we blaze over, remember all of us head over to Vegas for it was almost felt like a post deployment, you know, Marine Corps ball celebration. You know what I mean? It was emotional. It was like a reunion. It was like goodbye. It was, you know, it was just a lot of different emotions coming off that deployment after being in Afghanistan for a year. That one was probably the most meaningful. And, you know, if you remember, General Neller was our guest of honor.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and, you know, he awarded some of us there. And it was just very, that was one that was amazing as far as having the honor to be a part of that one, coming back from a deployment like we had, and then we literally hardly had our bags unpacked, and we headed to Vegas and had a ball, you know. So that was awesome. So I don't know so much if it's what unit you're with. It's more like who are you with is what makes it special.
You can say it. Say it. It's better with grunts. Go ahead.
I'm not saying that.
Stop. Why are you in denial? Just say it. Oh, with the division on the Intrepid. Oh, no. With the 1st Marine Regiment after he got back from Afghanistan and Vegas. What do both of those things have in common? The gifted. You're with the gifted. All right, so how are you? Are you celebrating it today? Are you low key in it?
So, you know what was cool? I'm gonna be honest with you. Is Valley Christian, little private school here in San Marcos. I coach the high school age girls, and one of the young sisters, you know, she's real bashful, like real shy. Her name's Brooke, and the sister, she's probably 10, right? She's like fourth grade, and she asked her parents, hey, can Coach Kurt come to our Veterans Day celebration? And I was like, well, yeah, I can be there. So I went yesterday to this Veterans Day celebration, but it was heavy, heavy Marine Corps. Like, you know, we had Humvees there, and Marines there. It was, and then the school and all the kids. I mean, they sang all of the services, branch of services songs, and they the Marine best for last. Marine Corps went last, and you know, you stood up, and then stand up if you've served more than 20 years. So I stood up there, you know, stand up. If, you know, it's like I was constantly standing up, but I mean, you really felt special in a way of like people appreciated you, and it was neat. So that's what I did yesterday. That was really kind of, you know, my celebration for the Marine Corps, just being around it a little bit and being in the community. And, you know, it was nice to feel appreciated and thanked. And yeah, it was great. So, but today, you know, just teaching people to fly fast jets today. So I'm back at it teaching flying today.
Motivator. You know, but again, you know, even with songs, who's got the best song?
Oh, Marine Corps for sure.
Yeah, it's funny how
branch of service stand up. They kind of like slide up. Like if you hear the Marine Corps hymn, you're like, boom! Up, you know, it's like a position of tension.
It's a great song to sing too. Kids love to sing it. Like, oh yeah, that one. But then the Marine Corps song comes on. Come on, the kids
they did too. They were extra loud. It was they were all into it. So,
motivated.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. So now, are you going to take your sons aside and say, okay, bros, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you where you're at in the training pipeline, and let me tell you where you're at in the training pipeline. And don't tell me you're in kindergarten and we don't need to have this talk, all right? Let me break it down for you. Are you going to have that one? Are you still in mourning?
Well,
are you still in mourning that Richard Sherman blew out his Achilles?
The Seahawks won yesterday, by the way.
I know. I saw.
No, you know, it's funny. Brock's still talking that he wants to go in the Marine Corps and be a pilot, and you know that's what he wants to do. And it's funny because even I coach another team of younger girls who they're in grade school. They're about fourth, fifth grade, and they come up to me on Wednesday and they go, "We saw in the yearbook they had found my son. He's now in middle school. They found him in the yearbook from last year." And looked at what his like ambitions were for his life. And they said, and it says he wants to be a Marine and he wants to fly, planes like his dad. So I was like, man, I'm just here to support, you know, that's what he wants to do. I'll help him out, but, it's gotta be his dream.
Bottom line though, that's the right answer. Okay. Even if he punks out of it, like, hey, I know how to get him off my ass. Right. But someday you never know. Today, Patrick, my number two son, he turns 28 today. and he's standing duty in Okinawa. Standing duty in Okinawa. Nice going, bro. And then Johnny Boy's at the basic school. I don't know. I haven't heard from him, so they might have had their ball
sure
last night.
Sure, something big out there. In
yeah, he might yeah. be. He might be down hard this morning. John worked in the restaurant business, you know, going through college and stuff like that. So he's not afraid of a cocktail. Yeah, and then, and growing up in North Dakota, too.
He probably can make them, too. He probably around the bartender.
Oh, no,
he
trust me.
He probably can make them well.
Exactly. Yeah, and he, you know, he starts talking drinks with you and things like that. And he's not just a technician. He's a consumer. So he might be down. He might be down hard, but but it's cool. My favorite pitcher, in fact, I'm gonna go speak at a ball next week. HMM 167. Tilt Rotors.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is that Miramar?
Yep. Nah, Pendleton,
yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, it's in Pendleton. Yeah, Pendleton. They've got Tilt Rotors there.
I think. I'm not sure. But I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm their guest speaker. Boom.
Oh, cool.
Exactly. And so I got to think of something at least interesting to say, or at least funny and brief. But
well, you got to. I mean, you figured it. What work that Osprey's been doing. Not only when we were in Afghanistan, but they've really ramped up their game now. When I deployed in 2016, I mean, there's nothing is tip of the spear now. You know what I mean, it's like what the Osprey is doing now is what Marine Corps had hoped it would eventually do. I think it took longer than they planned, but now it's just, I mean, that thing is just killing it. You know what I mean? It's crushing it. So,
right. But they asked me for a picture. You know, can you send us a picture for the program? I'm looking for a picture. Like, do I want to send one of my I Love Me photos? But I sent him a picture of it was a day Pat, RCO, a good buddy of mine who you've heard on the program is Dave Furness. And, he was a commissioning officer at Patrick's commissioning. And just by coincidence, Dave was, he was at the Office of Legislative Affairs. So he's in the area. They needed somebody. And so 6 months in advance, they said, hey, we could use you. So he's the commissioning officer. We're battle buddies times three, right? Most recently in Afghanistan, where Rudy and I served together. My oldest son's there. John's there. A couple of battle buddies. Chris Bronzy's there. Joe Garreau's there. And these are great, great guys. And you're in the rotunda of the cathedral, right? And that's where this comes from. I get goosebumps listening to that. You know, with your two sons, and I never, ever sat down. You know, I mean, I called my sons pussies a lot of times and told them that they weren't tough enough to be Marines, and we're not even going to talk about it. But, and we didn't, because you can answer some questions, but ultimately what attracts people to the Marine Corps is its intensity, its edge, its passion, and a little bit of its craziness, I think, is what...
Yeah, no, I would agree with you 100%.
And then
you're going in it the wrong way if you got somebody in your ear going, go this way, go this way, go this way. Right. Like, you gotta kind of get knocked down and kind of, you know, you gotta... You know, I remember, I'm a third-generation Marine, but my dad never said, you will do this and you will do that.
You had no choice, though. You want to be the family pussy? Do you?
Well, I mean, it's funny because I, you know, you kind of think about it, the other branches of service, and you just get that look.
What?
Like,
no,
that,
no,
you
bro.
Know what I mean? It's like
it's either Marine Corps.
You don't have to. It's such unsaid. Like hear my son Brock talk about. You know, his friends, they're talking about they want to be pilots or whatever. And he's like, you know, one of them will say, and he wants to go in the Air Force. And I just kind of looked at Brock, and he just looks back at me like, yeah. Fucking
I know.
Yeah, he knows. They
you know.
Know.
You don't even have to explain it. Patrick was, when he was talking about going, I said, look, man, you don't have... You know, you don't need to join. Your brother and I'll do the fighting. You can stay home with the girls. That's bullshit. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm not making up the rules. I'm just down here living by them. So, yeah, you know, you do your own thing, man.
We'll take care of it.
Yeah, we'll take care of it. We got it. The heavy lifting men stuff, we got it, man. You stay here with the chick.
Next thing you know, he's calling you up. I went down to the Oso.
Yeah, that's you know what? That's what happened. Like, we got something in the mail, and I saw. I said, "What's this?" And he just looked at me. What? I said, "Why are you getting this?" I don't know. I'm like, "Oh, you don't want to tell me?" And then he told me. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. All right, I know you got to work. I got to talk to Horseshoe Man. Happy birthday, Devil Dog.
Tell him happy birthday. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, later. There you have it. The one and only Kurt Knowles. Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps, F-18 man, and an awesome dude. The we go from there up to Idaho, where Rob Schwartz, Montana man, is going to be Idaho man today. Yeah, and he is a furrier, I think. I think that's what they call him. Maybe he can explain to us why they call him furriers. And so, yeah, on his birthday, 242 years old today. Prime rib is the meal, by the way. Yeah, I got 12 horses to shoot. You want a little cheese with that wine?
Happy birthday, War Pup.
What's going on, Devil Dog? Happy birthday.
Yeah.
So tell us, you left Idaho. I mean, you left Montana, over in Idaho. Is the weather warmer in Idaho or colder?
Actually, it is a little bit warmer. Still trying to snow on us, though.
Is it? So you got 12 horses. Now, do you go different places? And what is a furrier? Where does that come from? It sounds like that should be a person who sells furs.
It's actually a person who works on fur, but a farrier.
Oh,
hey, it's someone who works on horses.
Oh, so I'm pronouncing it wrong? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and you're probably spelling it wrong too.
All right. All right. So tell us about your first Marine Corps birthday. Your first great memory of the Marine Corps.
God, that was. And I don't remember a birthday, but well, obviously I was at OCS, so we went for a ceremony at the football field was it, I think. And then the obligatory slow day after the staff went to the ball. Just, everything was kind of moving slow. Nobody was getting hollered at too much. It's kind of like, oh, I see how this works out. So it's kind of a half day off after the ball.
It is. It definitely is. Give me your favorite, give me the best ball or your favorite ball you ever went to. Did you know that the gunner, he missed one year when he was on sea duty? He never got
to.
He
was in Brazil or something, chasing tail.
He never got to the ball. Got off the ship, headed to the city, going to the ball, never got there.
Those girls had to be pretty good looking for him not to get in trouble.
Yeah, come on. Like, he was a lance corporal. How good looking? They had to be okay looking, all right, because it was early in the day, okay? And then was liquor involved in it? A little bit? Maybe one or two. Okay. Is this you on the back end? So that's, let me just tell you, if you can't get a date and you're physically fit and you can follow orders, you should join the Marine Corps, because that dress blue uniform is magic. Guys who won't even get a second look from a woman, you can marry a moderately good looking woman if you throw that uniform on. Yes or no, am I lying?
No, you're exactly right. We did when I was in 29 Palms, we did a ball in Palm Springs, and it, you know, you did the ceremony and you finished it up about 10, and then everybody hit the town, and it was like every Marine had a girl on his arm. I mean, just like everybody's in their blues, flooding Palm Springs.
Okay, let me ask you a question. We were talking about this yesterday, Mike and I. The prom dresses that come to the Marine Corps birthday ball, because now girls are out of high school, and their mother's not buying the dress, and they probably aren't supervising the dress. Pretty interesting dress selection, yes?
Oh, yeah. No, it's always good. Yeah, probably the most, one of the better balls I went to was an MCRD, obviously, but the drill and ceremony piece was impeccable.
Right.
But all the drill instructors showing up, with mostly strippers from San Diego, to the ball, it was kind of like, you just had to look at your plate the whole time, you know. You didn't want to glance over at your wife every once in a while. Don't remove your eyes from the plate. You're just going to get in trouble.
No, it is. Let me just tell you, and let me tell you, when you combine these elements, like a little bit of music, booze, you have the gifted ones there, the Marines. And the more infantry Marines you have there, the more the funnier and crazier it gets. And then you have all these girls who find those guys attractive, which is an interesting subset of the population. And then they get to pick a dress for this ball without their mother's supervision, probably with the help of a friend who's going to help them pick it out. Does this look okay? Let me just tell you, there's more skin getting shown in wrong dresses, and you're there, and it all looks great though. And then the music starts, and it gets even worse. I told a story where I took my two daughters to 1/4 ball when Chris Bronzy was the battalion commander. And my 10-year-old goes, Colleen goes to the bathroom the first time. She comes back, and she goes, "Dad, you'll never believe what happened in there." I said, "What?" She goes, "There was girls there puking in the garbage can." I'm like, "Really?" I said, "Well, maybe they got some bad ice." She said, "I think they were drunk." So then, like, what, 10 minutes later, "Can I go back to the bathroom?" I'm like, "Yeah." So she comes back, and I said, "Now what?" She goes, "Well, I was in there, and these boy Marines come walking in, and then the girls started yelling at them, and the boy Marines told the girls that they're in the wrong bathroom, and they needed to get out of the men's room. And then they just stayed in there yelling and arguing." I'm like, "That's the oldest trick in the book, Colleen." She's like, "It was funny though, Dad." And so then she goes, like 10 minutes later, "Can I go?" And then she comes, I said, "Now what?" She said, "Well, they were carrying this Marine by his feet in his hands." And I said, "Yeah, he probably slipped and fell." She said, "I think he was drunk." I'm like, "No, Colleen, come on. It's like not even 8 o'clock yet." So now we're dancing. Right, and now the girls, the gifted girls with the bad dresses on, this girl pulls her dress up to her hips. She squats down and she's twerking, right? And Colleen's 10, right? Both my daughters are out there, and they're looking.
What are you doing, bringing them kids?
Oh my God, it was so.
Especially to a grunt ball.
Exactly. So I spin Colleen under my arm. We're dancing. I spin her under my arm. Her necklace with the Marine Corps pendant catches the buttons on my mess dress, so it was kind of a somewhat violent spin, which is in keeping with the night, and it explodes the necklace and goes all over the floor. So we're on the floor and looking for it, and we're finding it, and I look at her, and I'm like, "Is this unbelievable?" She looks at me, she says, "Dad, this is awesome." I went, "Uh-oh, that's not a good sign." But no, they're fun events. How do you? So you're going to celebrate at working today?
Yeah, no, I'm finishing up the week here, and we head back to Montana this weekend.
And then
probably go out to dinner tonight, and then
little bourbon, little
guys you don't talk to all year.
Little whiskey toast,
typing up on the text or wherever.
All right. What's the favorite birthday you ever had?
God, it had to be in Iraq with 13th Mew.
Really? Where were you?
We were at Al Asad.
What year?
That had to be 05, 06-ish.
I wasn't there yet.
Hello.
I got there. I went back in 06. I've done a Fallujah. But the, why? What was good about it?
It was just a good crew, you know, and we only took like, half an hour to go have a formation cupcake, pass it around, freaking everybody just took a breath enough to recognize it.
Right. No, we did that in Afghanistan. I was the oldest Marine. I hated that shit.
That doesn't surprise me.
I hated that because you want to know why? Everybody thinks they got to make a comment now. Oh, man. Oh. But, I take none of that. How fat do you think you're going to be when you're my age, bro? Yeah, you stuffing your fat country ass into those those overalls that'll be like spandex on you? You won't look like me when you're my age. They're like, what? Whoa, what's up with that? Where's the hostility coming from? All right, you got to get back to the horses?
Yeah, I got the guy helping me. He's probably wondering where the hell I'm at.
All right, well, happy birthday there, Double Dog.
All right, man, you too.
All right, later. There you have it, Rob Schwarz, Marine Infantryman, Executive Officer, 1st Marine Regiment in Afghanistan, 2010-2011. Yeah, tell you what, we got a few minutes. Let me play the Commandant's message. This is the full birthday message, okay, from General Neller. And you'll hear all kinds of stuff in it. But you'll hear the We Gotta Win thing in here. Kim Holmes is going to join us. We're going to talk for a few minutes about prime rib. Prime rib is the traditional dinner of the Marine Corps. So we'll talk about that for about 20 minutes or so. And if you are going to make it, my favorite part of the prime rib is that crust that some people get on it, and he'll teach us how to do that. So we'll talk to him real quick. We'll continue birthday stuff on a day when we celebrate the 242nd birthday of the Marine Corps. And here's the, well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. Let me take a break, and you'll hear the message here in a little bit. We'll get Kim on. You'll hear the message after Kim. We'll talk a little bit of prime rib as we continue here. So to all you Double Dogs, happy birthday, and don't be afraid to have a good time. And if you're a civilian, what's the appropriate greeting today? Every Marine dependent, you know, happy birthday. Yeah, we are a birthday. Nobody loves their birthday like we love ours. And that's one of the introductions you get to it. And it's like, it's a big deal, right? Every year, formal balls, people fired up, November 10th. Yeah, Patrick's birthday today. It's all good. November 10th. Actually, my godson's birthday, Mike McGarry. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Mike McGarry. If you bump into him up in the Bay Area, tell him happy birthday. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial. We continue with our little birthday celebration, talking to Marines, talking trash.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, Joey Perazzo joins me now. Joey, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Happy birthday. I'm awesome, man. Okay, I want you to listen to this and tell me if this isn't one of the best versions of the Marine hymn you've ever heard in your life. Okay, so stand by. Target! Okay, that is off somebody's iPad in the rotunda of the National Museum of the Marine Corps at an OCS commissioning.
Oh, wow. You know, that was awesome. And here's what's funny about that, Mac, is the little tiny speaker in my phone that I'm listening to that in is still enough every single time when I hear the Marines hymn to send a chill down the back of my neck. You get the same thing?
Well, you know what, especially that version of it, my son got, yeah. My second son got commissioned. That was the commissioning, and he sent that to me. And I played it, and I couldn't believe the clarity. I mean, so there's no special microphone set up. It was just some parent's iPad. And so for me, in that place, one of my battle buddies times three, Dave Furness, was the commissioning officer, he's Brigadier General, commissioned my second son. Yeah. My first son was a first lieutenant standing next to me. And then I don't know if you know Chris Bronzy, but he's a war hero. He's awesome guy. He's a battle buddy times two. He was there with me, and you got your whole family there, and it's just like, man, this is one of the perfect moments of my life. And then you hear them bust that song out, and you hear all those voices, nothing accompanying them, and they're motivated and fired up, and it's like, I love it. Yeah, it gives me the chills when I hear that.
Yeah, same with me. And whatever building or auditorium that was in was like really good acoustics for that too, so it just captured it perfectly.
That's the rotunda of the museum. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Is that posted anywhere?
No. Do you want me to send it to you?
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, I'll send the MP3 file to you.
Okay.
You know what? I got an email from the CO of the 4th Marine Regiment in Okinawa. And he said, hey, could you send me that MP3 file? I love that version of it. It's so clear. How did it get recorded? I said it was off somebody's iPad in the rotunda of the cathedral. He was like, are you kidding me? And now they play it, right, at Camp Schwab every Friday morning. So it's awesome. It's awesome. No,
I love how it just gets a little bit louder every time you hear it when the line of the Army and the Navy, you know, ever looked on heaven's seas. Everyone just shouts that out as loud as they can. It's hilarious.
You know what? You know, and first of all, our song is I think it's a really interesting song, since we're talking about it. One, it's funny, okay? If the Army and the Navy ever look on heaven's scene, come on, who would put that in their song? But, you know, we did. The other part of it that I find interesting, after going to war is, you know, it's the whole line, first to fight for riding freedom and to keep your honor clean. Did they know, I mean, like post-combat related mental health, did they know the importance of keeping your honor clean through all that and how important that is because you have to live with what you do in war? You live with it for the rest of your life. Did they know that? Were they like giving us mental health counseling in our song? So I just find it interesting. That's an odd line to put in.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, nothing's changed in all of the years we've gone to war. So
no.
Yeah.
No.
It's just been classified and renamed something different. So.
You know, and the other thing is that it's, am I right or wrong? Is it, I mean, there's no other song close to it, right?
In my opinion, you know, and of course I'm a little biased. No. There's nothing that compares, you know. Like I said, every time you hear it, no matter where you are, or what you're doing, it could be the tiniest little speakers coming from, you still get those goosebumps up and down your arm and the chill on the back of your neck. You
it's
know?
An
it's,
awesome song.
It's one of those things.
It's
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, and the way they sing it, it lends itself to being sung like that, which is awesome. Tell me about your Joey Perazzo, retired as a major, F-18 pilot. And now he's doing, what's the name of it? I'm sorry?
Yeah, Warrior Passion, nonprofit.
Tell everybody what you guys do.
Oh man, that'd be great. Well, what we do is, you know, after your career ends in the military or for whatever reason, and whatever your condition is, we like to work with you and grab you and try to find some hobbies and provide some camaraderie in the meantime. We work with mostly disabled and injured veterans from all branches of the service. And, you know, we just to be honest, we just get them into some really fun stuff, you know. I like to call them hobbies, but really they're more passions, hence the name Warrior Passion, right? So
right.
It could be something as simple as, you know, we'll take them camping or or fishing to a little bit more adrenaline-based stuff like off-roading, and I'll take them flying and go up and do aerobatics. I'm a former fighter pilot, so that's kind of my passion, right? So I share it with them. Yeah, thanks for asking. This weekend, to celebrate the birthday, course birthday, we're going out to the desert up at Teal Wells. We're gonna take a few guys out there off-roading and off-roading and shoot some guns. You know, what gets better than that, right? There it
No, let me tell you, but for a lot of guys, I mean, you know, that's a peaceful place, right? With a little bit of adrenaline, used to do it a fair amount in the military, now not so much, but that's a peaceful place. It's a happy place. I just had a guy write me an email and talk about, you know what, my memories of talking trash, laughing. He said, I don't know I've ever laughed harder in my life than I laughed in the Marine Corps. Being inspired, you know, our company Gunny that was smoking a cigarette, and then going a 3-mile run, and him called cadence the whole time, stop, pull a cigarette out of his sock, right, light it up again, and start smoking again. Those guys, you know, just those amazing people, and then the courage and selflessness you see all the time. It's just a crazy, wonderful, you know, determined organization. Give me your first memory of the Marine Corps birthday.
Oh, the first memory of the Marine Corps birthday?
Yeah.
Wow. Where was I? I was in SoCal. This was in back when El Toro and Tustin were still open.
Whoa.
So, yeah. Oh man, I was 19 years old, and I was 20. I just turned 20, right? And I remember going to the Marine Corps ball, and I had a little bit younger sister. She was, I think, 18 or 19 at the time. And I invited her to come, and my girlfriend, and all I remember is all these, you know, dirty devil dogs just trying. I mean, oh, I became the most popular guy in the room because she's a really good-looking girl. So that's one of my earliest memories is
trying to protect
showing up with
trying to protect your sister at a Marine Corps birthday ball. We were talking, and I want you to speak to it. Marine Corps birthday, the dresses are pretty interesting, yes?
Oh, yeah.
They're the dresses that, you know, girls wanted to wear to their high school prom, but their mothers wouldn't let them, okay? Right? Now that they're out of high school, they go buy a dress unsupervised, and so it's a pretty interesting place. Because the ball, I mean, the Marine Corps is a young service. Right, 60% of the Marine Corps is under the age of 26. So when you go have a ball, when you go to the ball, yeah, exactly. You know, you don't even think about that. But it is. It's a young service, and when you go to the ball, there's some interesting stuff going on. So did you protect your sister? Did you wind up getting through the night?
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was all you know, pretty innocent back then, but. That was 1992.
Wow.
So, like, they just lived, my folks and, sister lived up in Los Angeles, and I was, you know, based down in Tustin, Orange County. So she used to come down all the time and hang out, and she got to be, you know, kind of one of the boys, if you will.
Right.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Joey Perrazzo,
my first memory.
Former F-18 pilot in the Marine Corps, prior enlisted, obviously. Talk about, do you have a favorite memory from the Marine Corps ball? I mean, obviously you celebrated them, in a lot of different places. You got a favorite memory?
Oh yeah, there's so many. It's just about the, you know, the brotherhood, the camaraderie, and everything you create. That stuff is real, and it never leaves you, bro, you know? Celebrating the Marine Corps birthday with, when I was a pilot in my squadron, you know, obviously having a good time and, you know, doing the limo thing and bringing the dates, and everyone goes to the bar and does a shot of whatever, tequila or something. I'll never forget those because some of those guys aren't here anymore, you know?
Right.
Those are the memories you hang on to, after it's all said and done. And when you do lose brothers like that, those memories just get cemented in your brain as just some of the best memories you can have in your entire life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, let me read you an email.
Yeah.
Mac, one of my favorite experiences at the ball was bringing my parents the first time they ever went. I didn't come from a Marine Corps family. My mom and dad were concerned when I decided to join. And I joined after 2 years of college, and then I went to boot camp. I was a Lance Corporal, the first ball that they came to, and I vividly remember walking into the ballroom with my mother and father and my date, and I remember walking by the place setting at the table that has the barracks cover for Marines that are no longer with us. And my parents said, "What is that?" And I explained it to them. From that second on, throughout the course of the night, I think my parents fell in love with the Marine Corps. The pageantry, the way we do it, the precision of the ceremony from the adjutant walking out in his tight-ass way, to the speeches, to the commandant's message, to General Lejeune's message. It's all pretty intoxicating, especially if you've never seen it. I love being around people that go for the first time and watching their reaction to it, because it is one of the coolest events you can ever bring somebody who doesn't know anything about the Marine Corps to. Enjoyed the program today. Enjoyed hearing people's memories of it. Have a great birthday. Happy 242. That is pretty cool, the first time you bring different people to the ball and they get a chance to see the Marine Corps roll out its splendor, its history, and what it's devoted to. It's a pretty intoxicating night in a lot of different ways, but in terms of our customs and our heritage, it's certainly very cool.
And there's something about it, too. It's intoxicating. But I remember a few years back talking to the commandant at the time, General Amos, and we got to do a special flight with him in the S-18. It was a really cool experience. We dedicated a Medal of Honor aircraft.
Wow.
Really, really neat. It had citations on the side. Anyway, not to get too far off subject, but I specifically remember having a conversation with him about that intangible thing the Marines have. And he's put it simply like this: we are an infectious bunch. He didn't mean it like a virus. He meant it like, hey, once you get around us, that's it. You want to be around us. You want to be part of whatever it is we have going on. And I thought that was so well put by the commandant. So it's true. It's intoxicating, but also kind of addicting. You know what I mean?
No, I absolutely know what you mean. And again, I people will ask you, what makes the Marine Corps different? And, you know, I have a pretty short answer for that. And that is, you know, the people that walk through the door make the Marine Corps different. And what makes them different is that when they're young and stupid and all of that, and they don't know a whole lot about the Marine Corps, and you're trying to evaluate which service you're going to join. And you see the Air Force, and you see the Navy and what they offer, and you see the Army, and then you see the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps is not like the other services. It's not. And we're going to offer you an opportunity to be a Marine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's raw. The recruiters are tougher. They give that hard nose, and that doesn't appeal to everybody. And so the young person that sees all that propaganda and looks at it and says, "I'll try that," that's a different cat, male or female. It's not the person that's like the rest of the group. They're different. And when you get that the group like that together as Marines, and then you go to fight and you see them fight, you're never so happy in your life that you join the Marine Corps as when you go fight. And you look at it and you're like, "You got to be kidding me. Those kids call me sir in this organization." It's the most humbling. Yeah. It's the most humbling experience of your life. But it is. It isn't. It's intoxicating. We rub off on each other. The craziness, the intensity, the passion. It's a
passion.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, the passion is that intangible. You can't put your finger on it, you know, I had a 22-year career in the Marine Corps MAC, and ran the gamut from enlisted to officer to mechanic to pilot. But my favorite tour, my favorite memories, you know what that was?
What?
It was down at MCRD. I went back, so obviously, you know, I went through boot camp down there in 92, and I got the opportunity to go back in 2007, 2008 as a series commander. Literally running around with recruits. You know, here I am almost close to 40 years old, and I'm running around with 18-year-olds. But the recruits and the drill instructors down there that's where the passion is ignited. That's where, you know, you can have an influence on that. And it's everything. It's the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the history behind our corps. And I used to start off I would teach 25, 30 classes to these recruits, you know, to get them for an hour or 2 hours and teach everything from, you know, combat history to sexual assault to whatever. But I'd start every single class by reading from the good book, and I called the good book. It's just a big, thick book of all of the citations of the Medals of Honor won throughout the years. Best book in the world. If you don't have that book in your repertoire, go out and get it and read some of these things. They're just amazing. And all I would do is I'd read a page, a citation, to these recruits, and they would just go crazy for it. You know, they'd say at the end of graduation, "Now I get it. You know, now I understand the history." So there's just something that binds us all through our history and our heritage.
That's because not right in the head, I think it's called. You know, it is. And I told the story a little bit ago, but Major General Jarvis Lynch retired, came on. He talked about, this is like a story out of the pantheon of heroes of the Marine Corps. They're doing a battalion operation, 1968-69 in Vietnam. They're going into an LZ. Unbeknownst to them, it's been registered by NVA artillery. They go in, and they wind up running 158 guys as medevacs out of the LZ after they could just get pounded, right? Who do you think flies in late in the day in the midst of all this is Colonel, the regimental commander of 9th Marine Regiment, Colonel Bob Barrow, gets out and walks over and says, "What do you need from me? How are you guys doing?" "We're fine, sir. You know, what do we need? Nothing. We're just, you know, finishing these medevac up. We'll be ready to go." And then, you know, Barrow looking at him saying, "Hey, they're going to pay for this. We're going to go get them. They're going to pay. All right. So you get your act together and get ready because we're going to go get them." And then the next morning, right, as they're getting ready to jump off in this operation, I guess, who flies in but Ray Davis, Major General, CG of the 3rd Marine Division, you know, and General Lynch, Major Lynch at the time, walks up and says, "Sir, I don't think it's safe here." And Davis looks at him and says, "Son, this is my AO. I'll go wherever the hell I want to." He goes, what do you need? What do you need from me to go punch them in the face and knock their ass out? Because that's what we're going to go do. You know, and you get this sense of, you know, here in this awful moment where you're 150, I've never heard that many medevacs in my life, right? And this is one up. And here are these guys, and you realize why they're in the pantheon of heroes of the Marine Corps, is that fearless, right? And when it gets hard, did they flinch from where they thought they should be? No, they went straight there, right? Straight there, not right. The fearless guys. And what that does, the intoxicating nature of them showing up, like, holy shit, that's Colonel Barrow that just flew in. You know? What is he saying? Yeah. He's walking around talking to Marines. "All right, boys, let's get ready. Let's go. We're going to go get these guys." I mean, right? I mean, I get chilled just talking about it, but he was telling the story. But it's that infectious enthusiasm for being a Marine, for the fight and for your contribution to the fight. And it's I agree with you. It rubs off but it's that group, right, who chooses that path that makes the Marine Corps so special, because they're unique people. They look at all our crazy boot camp crap, right? And not only the craziness itself, but the mythology that surrounds it. And when you're young, you don't know, and you look at that and you say, "I'll try that."
Well, you know,
different kid.
what we're doing is we're creating a family. We're not just creating Marines. We're bringing you into our family. When we say the word, you know, brother or sister, brothers in arms, sisters in arms, we're talking about a family here, you know, like a real, that's how you feel about the Marines that you're serving with. Plain and simple. And I ask the question, you know, what would you do for your family? Usually the answer is anything. Would you die for them? Yes. The same thing. That's what we're doing is we're creating a family. That's why we celebrate every year and we wish each other a happy birthday and we look at our history and we feel like we're a part of this family that's bigger than us. You know, it's bigger than us. So
it's huge. All right, man. First of all, thanks for coming on and doing this and just talking to my friends about what the birthday means to them and how, what a special day it is for us. So have a great time out in the desert. If you're interested, Passion Warriors, you can, all you got to do is search for them. You'll find
warriorpassion.org is my website. You can go on Facebook and search for Warrior Passion. We got a really cool build right now. We're building a Medal of Honor truck. Man, it's going to be awesome. We're going to celebrate and represent all those that have gone before us in the Baja truck racing world. So check us out on Facebook, Warrior Passion.
All right, man. First, again, thanks for doing this. Have a great one.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Good talking to you. And Semper Fi, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Semper Fidelis, bud. That is Joey Perrazzo. Warrior Passion. You're going to hear right now, you're going to hear the Commandant's message. I've delayed this long enough. All right, and then the Gunner will join us. I'll give him a call next. So, Commandant of the Marine Corps, message on the 242nd birthday. I might have to do a little bust into this and just do a little scene setting, so, because this is a video.
Every day, before I put on these threads, I ask myself one question. Am I worthy?
Have I earned the privilege to represent the legacy of all the others who have come before me?
To protect and defend our nation against all who threaten our way of life.
Not only defines our motto,
it's who we are.
Not everyone can be a member of our team.
It takes guts, and it takes courage.
No one said it would be easy.
But anyone who's ever worn our cloth
or receive the eagle, globe, and anchor, or heard the cadence, knows our name.
You learn from day one, it's about the team. We're part of a team. Anyone I've ever met who's been awarded the Medal of Honor, any of our highest nation's decorations will tell you they did it because they were part of a team. They didn't do it for themselves. They did it because they wanted to make sure everybody came home.
No greater example of that was my own situation on November 13th of 2004.
All right, this is Sergeant Major Brad Castle. He's the Sergeant Major of 1MEF. Most Marines will recognize the name, but there's a famous picture of him during the Battle of Fallujah being after he was shot. He's got his arms around two Marines that are helping him walk and his 9mm in one hand. So if you recall the picture, that was, I think at the time he was First Sergeant Castle. Now here's Sergeant Major Brad Castle.
And I think I get way too much credit for that day. The real credit goes out to the Justin Boswoods and the Sergeant Robert J. Mitchells and the Lance Corporal Marquez and Lance Corporal Schaefer at that time. Sergeant Mitchell, he ran across a kill zone in a room that was covered by heavy enemy fire and put himself in harm's way voluntarily to get inside the room with me and try to make a difference and to try to assist in the evacuation of myself and Lance Corporal Nicole. And I think that's pretty incredible.
You know, Marines stepping up to the plate to save other Marines, to make sure they defend freedom and liberty with everything that they got. No difference. Uncommon valor, still a common virtue.
75 years ago, the 7th of August, the 1st Marine Division landed on this island.
All right, this is the Commandant talking about Guadalcanal.
Guadalcanal, unlike a lot of the fights in the Pacific, was a six-month-long campaign. A series of attacks and counterattacks on air, land, and sea. On the night of 24-25 October, right here, Sergeant John Bassel, or Charlie 17, whose position is about 10 meters to my right, defended his position against overwhelming odds.
Well, he earned his Medal of Honor right here.
Correct. Yeah.
Going back and forth with the fire, getting ammo.
That's it.
He shot it out to his machine gun.
It happened.
Right.
Never thought in my lifetime I'd be standing in the same position with Sergeant John Bazelon, laid his machine gun, his teams, and he sealed his name in the history of the Marine Corps forever.
The main things I think all of us will never forget is the terrible night bombings and air raids. You can't fight a plane.
This is a veteran from the Guadalcanal campaign.
And you can't fight a ship. It was very frustrating because you had to sit there in a hole in the ground and take all this bombing, and you couldn't fight back. You couldn't fire your rifle at anybody. But the Marines who were on the line on Guadalcanal, I think every man there should have received a medal. And I think every corpsman there should have received a medal.
This is a story about individuals' heroic actions, but it's about leadership. It's about perseverance, about resilience. They could have quit. They could have given up. I mean, there weren't too many good days here. So I think it's important for all of us to remember where we came from and who we are and why we're here on our birthday, which is what we're supposed to do. Remember the past. Honor those that are no longer with us. Think about what's going on today and get ready for tomorrow. We've got a great Marine Corps. We've got great Marines. Our families support us. The nation supports us. We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. We've got to win.
If you want to watch the video, just do a search on Commandant's birthday message 2017. Now, they make these every year now. So very, very cool. We're going to take a break. Yeah, the video is motivating. But I'll tell you what. I don't know who wrote that line, "We got to win." Yeah, that'll be... Somebody should make a t-shirt out of that. Because I think everybody who joins the Marine Corps identifies with that, with winning. One of the other cool things that has happened, you know, within the last 15 years is an organization sprung up that begun by the spouses of Marines in the 1st Marine Division that were fighting in Iraq. And based on the number of casualties that the division had, and the needs of those families, whether it be for daycare now that, you know, a husband is wounded and a wife is taking care of him, we need to go somebody to help us with expenses as we go to Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio because of his burns, you know, all the different things that happen. The Semper Fi Fund grew out of all of that. And it is in the highest keeping, the most unselfish tradition of the Marine Corps, the spouses of Marines that started this, did this. 97% of what you donate goes to their programs. They are an awesome, awesome organization. So Gunnar will join us next. Semper Fi Fund right here.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
Military.